Hello and welcome to Kinetics Radio. Today our guests are Sue and Tom Massari, and this fabulous couple are the writers of a most intriguing and edifying new book entitled The Art of Reclaiming Your Intention and Power, according to Abram, the Mayan Shaman. Tom has been channeling Abram for decades, and together with his wife, Sue, they are helping humanity to redefine the nature of reality through the wisdom of Abram. So without further delay, Tom and Sue, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Thank you, Catherine.
You know, I found your book so fascinating, and I want to start off by, Tom, if I could ask you, to give us a brief synopsis of how you came to know and channel Abram.
In 1972, I was living in Los Angeles, and I was the drummer in a rock and roll band. One night, well, there was a girl that I was going with at the time, and I had noticed in her house, in one of the bedrooms, there was a presence. I felt like I was never alone in that room, but I could never see anybody. So she and I were hanging around with a friend who was visiting us one night, and we decided to go in the room and see if we can talk to the ghost, and we had no idea what we were doing. So we went in the room, and, hi, how are you, and who are you, and why are you here, how did you die, and things like that. I started getting answers, but I did not hear any voices telling me the answers. The answers were kind of inside of me, if you can imagine how that feels. So somebody would ask a question, and I would say, all right, this is what I'm getting, and I would give the answer. And that went on for about a half hour, and then we started all feeling like a heaviness on our chest and kind of a little nauseous. So I said, well, let's go into the front room and just relax and get out of this room. So the two of them went into the front room. I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, and on my way to the front room, I was literally stopped in my tracks. I could not move, and flipped into this other personality and started reciting Shakespeare. And I would be this other personality for a few minutes and flip back to being Tom for a few minutes, and this went on for about 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, he gave a name, John Rolfe. He said he was a Shakespearean actor in the late 1700s in England. And what he did was he used to perform with his theater troupe outside of the theater as the people were waiting in line to get in to see the main show. So I figured, well, this is not frightening. It never scared me. So I thought, either I've gone off the edge or this is real. And if it's real, I should find this guy in a library book. So I went to the library a short time later and indeed found him in a library book. So then I knew it was real. And then I figured, well, if it happens again, I'll see what happens. And it's been happening for 41 years now.
Oh, my word. That's incredible. And before that incident, had anything prepared you for this? Were you extremely perceptive as a child? Did you see, you know, spirits or anything like that?
When my grandfather died, when I was around 14, I would hear him in the house, and I had seen him once or twice. But other than that, no. I mean, I was just, you know, a kid from Chicago and a drummer, and music was my life, you know.
So since the time that you were introduced to Abram, has he made it clear as to why he chose you?
They say, and I've heard this from a lot of other channels who are real channels, they say that, and Abram has said that somewhere in the past, somehow, at some point in time, he and I guess, knew each other or were in a life together or whatever, and decided to do this in this lifetime. So we made an agreement that I would be the channel and he would speak through me. Now, I don't remember any of that, so I think it would be really fascinating if I can someday use hypnosis and go back to that point in time, but maybe it wouldn't be of any value. I don't know.
Oh, I think it would be fascinating to know the history of the two of you. So do tell us a little bit more about Abram. He's only had three lives.
Yeah, that's all he said. That's all that he needed to learn, all of his life's lessons. One life was on the continent of Atlantis. And in fact, we're going to be in Los Angeles on the 23rd. We're going to be doing a session, and he's going to be speaking on life in Atlantis when he was a boy and growing up and what happened and all that stuff, where Atlantis is and all that stuff. So he had one life there. He claimed to be a marshal in the force, which is like our military. And then another life during the time of Jesus, he was a shoemaker. And his last life was in the Mayan civilization, and that's when he was a shaman, kind of like a medicine man.
How very fascinating. Well, Sue, your romantic history with Tom is quite unusual. can you tell me how the two of you met and then met again?
We were both living in Milwaukee. Tom had moved from California to Milwaukee. I was living in a house that I felt like something was going on with it. I thought there were spirits in the house, but I wasn't sure. And I was listening to the radio one morning, and there was a woman, a psychic, that was on, and I was completely enthralled by what she was saying. I never had met a psychic before. I knew I had had abilities. I had had abilities all through my life, mostly in the dream state where I would leave my body. I would go to different dimensions. Relatives that had passed would come to visit me, or I would go visit them. And I didn't know what to do with my abilities, so this woman was accessible there in Milwaukee, and I called and made an appointment for a reading and just had a fabulous reading. This woman was Tom's sister, and I had signed up for some classes. Tom was teaching some, we called them ESP classes at the time. So I called, and I had my appointment and signed up for the classes, and the first one that my girlfriend and I were going to go to, we had a huge snowstorm, and I didn't have a car. Milwaukee had a wonderful public transportation system, and so we took an hour ride, bus ride, to the office, and no one was there except for the assistant. And she was told that somebody might show up that night, and classes had been canceled. And I saw this picture up on the wall of this guy, and I looked at the assistant by the name of Sandy, and I said, "Oh, he's pretty darn cute." And so they arranged for us to get together, and that's how we met. And I started taking the classes, and during one of the classes is when he started channeling the very first time of any personality, and it was the strangest thing I had ever seen in my life. I was so excited about it, but I was terrified at the same time because I'd never seen anything like that before. And I could see this energy around Tom that was going out 2 to 3 feet from his body. It looked like someone was standing behind him. An energy kind of form was standing behind him, and he was, his body was contorting, and he was backing up and moved these chairs, these metal chairs, out of the way that the students were using, and just backed himself up into a corner, and all of a sudden he just started speaking. And that was it. That was,
and the voice was different.
Everything was different. Facial expressions, body language, the voice, everything was different. I was terrified, but I was just mesmerized also. So yes, and so we dated a couple of months, I guess, and we just kind of, we didn't actually go our separate ways. Emotionally, we went our separate ways, but I was still in the classes. We were still hanging around with the same group of people. He met someone else, and they moved to California. He got married. I moved to Washington State, and 35 years went by.
Oh, my word. 35 years.
35 years went by. I didn't get into the computer scene until around 2000. And so I, a couple of times, Googled him within, you know, 10-year period or so. And nothing came up. And I was working one night, and I was on the computer. There were no customers coming in. And I just got on the computer, and I was researching energy and quantum physics, and all of a sudden his name pounded in my head. It just was like, Tom, and there's only one Tom that I know that I'm really connected to. And so I Googled him, and I found his website. He was a massage therapist out in Arizona, and I called him up that night, and we talked for a couple of hours, and I went out to visit for a long weekend and ended up staying in Arizona for 5 months.
Nice.
Yeah. I came back. I live in Florida, and I said, I have to go. I have family and my house and my dog and everything else and a job. And I was lucky enough to be able to leave my job for 5 months. And he followed me. So here we are.
Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful story? And now you're writing together?
Yes.
And in this is your first book in this series of the Art of Books, right?
Yes.
Okay. And according to Abram, we as human beings have been taught to limit ourselves and our quality of life through limited thinking. So do you think this is the number one inhibitor to living our lives in excellence?
Yeah, it is. When I channel, I don't know what he talks about because it's like I'm in a sleep state, so I find out later when I can listen back to the session. That's when I find out what he talked about. And it made just a lot of sense to me because he was talking about how anything and everything and everyone in your life could be a limitation for you. When your friends talk to you, they talk to you through their beliefs, and in enough time, your energy kind of blends with their energy, and you kind of take on their belief system to a degree, which influences yours. What you've been taught in school, you have not been taught the right things, so that's a limitation. Religion limits you because you have to think the way they think. You can only do what they do. You can't do anything outside of their little package. So everything and everyone is a limit, and it might sound like a lot of work, but it's really not. You have to recognize all of these things as potentially being a limitation and take everything you've learned, like he says, take everything you've learned up to this point in time and throw it all away and just start all over again like a brand new person, which means you have to start thinking about yourself in a different way. And that's kind of hard for people to do because a lot of people, when I hear the sessions back, they ask him, well, what do you mean think of myself in a different way? How can I do that? Mm-hmm. And then he says, well, how would you like to do that? And that starts the people
good
thinking.
Answer, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He always gives it back to the person. It's not up to him. It's up to you. You know, it's up to the people because it's their life and their reality. He has nothing to do with it. All he can do is guide them into thinking and doing what's best for them according to what they believe in, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So he'll never...
It's like you said in the book that our life is our creation.
Yeah.
And we can live it any way we want.
Yeah.
But as you said earlier, we've been so conditioned by parents and teachers and peers and et cetera to believe in a certain way, a very certain limited way, so that many of us are not living the life of our dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you also write that Abram's wisdom can help us to have a greater awareness and understanding of the true nature of reality. So what exactly is the true nature of reality according to Abram? Is that it? That you can live your dreams? It's all up to you?
According to Abram, the true nature of reality is everything is not real. Nothing is real. Everything is an illusion. And being an illusion, he tells everybody life is a game. Everything is a game. Play everything as a game, and you'll have an easier time creating what you want in or for your life. But when he tells people it's a game and play it as a game, he doesn't mean to be frivolous with everything. You know, you can be serious about creating what you want, but enjoy it while you're doing it instead of thinking, oh, man, this is hard. This is work. This is a job. Will it pay off? I don't know. It might not. So stop thinking that way and think differently and enjoy what you do. And that really takes the pressure off of creating reality. And when you can see things as being an illusion, not real, then you can start thinking of other ways to do something. So let's say you have an idea, for example, that you're working on or you're working with, you're trying to create something and it's just not working out. Instead of dumping the idea, take the same idea and try it in a different way, and it will most probably work out. And he tells people, since everything is an illusion, there are millions of possibilities that you can do, possible things you can do with the one idea. So just keep doing it in a different way, and eventually it will work for you. It's a matter of hitting the right niche and timing.
I see. And if you go at everything with the idea that this is a game, it makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah,
exactly. It puts more joy and more passion into your life, more intrigue even.
Yeah, exactly.
He also tells people not to think of our physical life and the physical world as a school. He wants people to view their life and the world as a playground.
And I like that.
Not put pressure on yourself that, oh, you're here to learn lessons and this is a school and you're going to have to do this and there's karma this and karma that. He says take it and look at it in an entirely different way and look at life as a playground, that you can have anything that you want to have. And he said that he constantly says that people are intimidated by their own power.
I'm sure that's true. Does he give you examples of that?
Well,
can you give us some examples?
I can.
We're intimidated?
I can give myself as an example. In my own evolution as a medium, and everything that I've had to learn, understanding spirit and understanding how they communicate and understanding the telepathy and the emotions that come along with what they're saying is like learning a new language. And I went through, I learned everything on my own. Abram never, he would guide me or, you know, tilt the wheel one way or another and, you know, say, why don't you look this way? He would never tell me. And I had to learn all of this on my own. And it was very frustrating because once I thought I learned what symbols meant and what spirit was saying and that I had my group of symbols and then everything would change. And it would be like I was at square one again. And there is so much that I have been able to tap into by going within and seeing what things mirror to me, people, circumstances, whatever, the more that I go within to see my outside world and what my outside world means, the more I can sense and feel my own beingness, my entire beingness, and being able to connect with lives that are happening now in other dimensions and realities that affect me, that influence me, and that I influence them. And sometimes this gets a little scary because
I would imagine. Now, these are your lives on other dimensions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So once somebody starts tapping into going within and seeing who they really are and getting rid of all of these the domestication from society and parents and school and churches, once we can shed that and we can go within and we can be honest with ourselves and take responsibility for our lives and our decisions and our choices And once we start tapping into who we truly are and our entire beingness, it can be a little intimidating. And I know that my psychic abilities and mediumship abilities can go farther. And sometimes I'm a little intimidated by that. And so that's what I mean, that when people, we are very powerful spiritual beings.
Yeah.
And we have no idea the power that we actually possess. And
now, when you talk about going within and tapping into you, to who you really are you talking about through meditation?
I've done it in several ways. I was not a big meditator for decades, and I've been encouraged by Abram to try getting back into meditation. I get to a certain point, and I get that very floaty feeling, and then I start to get nauseous. And then I would stop. And because there were several times when I actually thought I was going to get sick. So I found different ways over the years of getting into the zone. I used to do a lot of gardening. So working out in the yard, working in the dirt, growing things was how I meditated. People can meditate in numerous ways. They can through artwork, you know, doing artwork or gardening or whatever their passion is. But meditation, especially in silence, once you're in silence, it's good to do guided meditation and meditation with music, but mm-hmm. mostly in silence, and then you can start hearing your inner self. Once you start getting rid of all the chatter in the head and you start calming all that down and you're in silence, silence is where you can hear yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And going into the silence with an intention to receive information on any given subject is also a great way to get that information.
Yes, yes, and to allow it. That's the key.
To allow it. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because what I want to concentrate on in our conversation from this point on is the law of attraction and the principles of manifesting according to Abram. Is that all right with the two of you if we just kind of go through that system?
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful. Because so many people, we're living in a time of such great change and flux, and I know most of the people in my life are saying these last couple of years have just been probably more challenging than any other time that they can remember in their life. So to know how to manifest that which we truly desire, I think, is one of the greatest gifts that we could ever have. So, Sue, I'd like you to explain exactly what the law of attraction is, according to Abram.
I think Tom could probably answer that.
Well, I was going to say Sue can probably answer that better.
I know you both can answer that.
Let me take a shot at it, and then I'll turn it over to Sue, and she can add to it. What he's talking about is the law of attraction is all about feeling equal to what you want. If you can feel equal to what you want, you can attract the energy of what you want. He talks about becoming the, and he also talks about this in the principles too, seven principles. When you want something, let the energy of what you want, like if you want money, for example, let the energy of money come to you and attract it by allowing it to merge with your energy. Maybe that sounds kind of strange, but this is the way that he teaches us how to create things. He always says, like attracts like, but opposites also attract. And opposites attract because opposites allow each person to become more of what they are. So if I attract someone who is totally opposite from the way I am, I need that person to be in my life so I can find that inside of myself, because obviously I'm missing it. And if I can find what this person is all about inside of me, then I could become more of Tom Masseri, whatever that might be, or whoever that might be. So that, I will now turn it over to Sue and let her take it from there and expand on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if I read a paragraph from the book?
No, please do.
Okay. He talks about everything is a choice. Mm-hmm. Everything you see is a choice. Life is a choice. And you have chosen this lifetime, in this time, your body, your identity, your parents, and all the rest. You have chosen all of it because you have created all of it. It is all your creation. When you are with people who rub you the wrong way, you created them. And why would you create them? To show yourself what is taking place emotionally within you. If someone is an aggravation to you, there is something taking place within your emotions that can use a change. Find it, change it, and you might be surprised. The attitude of that individual will change. Why? Because you have created that individual. So, in creating reality, there's been a lot of talk about the law of attraction. What Abram does is he gives people a definite set of meditations and visualizations and ways of creating their reality. And when you desire something, and he says that when you want something, don't want something because you'll always want it. So in the law of attraction, he says to give yourself permission first to have everything that you want. Mm-hmm. He gives techniques to create healing and balance. He says your thoughts, emotions, and imagination work together to form reality. He gives you techniques for creating what you desire, how to create money.
Well, what I'd like to talk about are his seven principles of manifesting, because I think this is a wonderful system that he's given, very easy for anybody to use. And I hope everybody who's listening has a pad and a pen so they can jot down these seven principles. And the very first one is see it. Right?
No, think it.
So what can you share about seeing it?
It's think it. The first one is
principle.
Is to think it. First, you need to think it.
Think it, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, to think it, and then you see it.
Okay. Right.
So think it. And is this where intention comes in as key?
Not
the same thing?
Not at this point. Not at this point. First, he says to think it, and once you think it, then you can begin to see it. And since everything begins with thought, then you will think what you want to manifest. And we tend to overthink. Human beings tend to overthink, and all you have to do, and you don't have to think it over and over and over and over again. All you have to do is think it one time. And then when you see it, and as you are thinking about it, you begin to see it in your mind and in the imagination, and begin seeing what you want. And how can you see it? Can you see it in, you can see it in any way that you would like to. If you are seeing what you want, see it in a grand way. Don't think in a small way, because when you think small, you'll get small. So think in a grand way, and you will be grand. Then after, Right, and that is so true, that if we think small, then that's what we can expect to get back. And then after you think it, see it, then you form it.
Mm-hmm. And how do we go about doing that?
When you give it form, you give it form in the imagination, and do it also in a grand way. And at this point, you have no emotion. Don't react emotionally. Don't respond. Just form it however it comes to mind. It can mean your life. It can mean your lifestyle. It can mean your reality. Just give it some kind of form. And this all happens in the imagination. But it's very important not to have emotion attached to it at this point. And you don't respond. You don't force anything. You just give it a form. It can be a color. It can be anything.
So when you say you don't have any emotion, it's like you're not visualizing this and getting happy. It's just a matter of fact.
Yes.
It's nothing that you're going to respond to emotionally.
Right, right.
You're looking at a picture.
Correct. You're
okay.
Like being very objective about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after you form it, then you want to attract it.
Okay, so the fourth principle is to attract it.
And what he says is to remember and realize everything is energy, that you are energy, and to attract the energy to you of what you want or what you want to do, all you need to do is realize that since everything is energy, including you, including your ideas, you need only desire it. And how does desire differ from thinking, seeing, or forming? It's now when you will bring emotion into the picture. Desire is when you can form it with emotion. Once you begin to have emotion, maybe excitement or joy, once you have emotion, then the energy of what you want will simply attract itself to you. You need to do really very little to attract what you want, because you are energy, and emotions are energy. Everything is energy, and you will be merging yourself, your being, your consciousness, with the energy of what you want or what you want to do. If it is something you want to do and you have seen it, now use your emotion in a grand way. If you feel excitement, feel excited in a grand way and not in a small way. Anything that you do in a small way will keep things small. Anything you do in a grand way will let things be grand for you. You merge your energies with the energies of what you want and what you want to do.
Fabulous. And then you become it.
Yes.
How do we do that?
All right. Becoming it, you have the thought, you've seen it, you have formed it, you have attracted it, and now you will become it. What you want to do or what you want, you will become it. So maybe there is something that you want, say a new automobile. And how can you become an automobile? Remember that everything is energy. Remember that you will become energy, the energy of the automobile or whatever you want. It's merging together. You feel what you want inside of you. And remember the excitement. It is within the excitement. You feel what you want inside of you, inside of your body. You feel the energy. If it is a new automobile, use your imagination in a grand way, the grandest way you can, and feel the energy of the automobile inside your body. Imagine it. Because everything is imagination. Imagination, the energy of the automobile is inside your body. Imagine it. Feel it. Feel it within you. And if you want to do something in your life or with your life, feel the energy of doing it. Feel the energy of doing it now. Don't think. Don't say. Don't believe that you will, that you'll do it later. Don't think. Don't feel. Don't believe that you will have what you want at a later time, because if you think or feel that way, then it will always be at a later time. So you will become the energy of what you want to do. And you do that by feeling what you want inside of you. You become it. You become that energy. And then...
Now, when you say, let me stop you there for just a second and make sure that we're all on the same page with this. So if I'm becoming the car,
mm-hmm.
Now am I going to imagine the way the leather smells, you know, the color of the car? How am I, you know, feeling the purr of the engine? Is this what you mean?
Yes. Everything. Sitting in there, feeling mm-hmm. the vibration of the car, seeing the color of the car. If it's a convertible, feel the wind through your hair. Feel that it belongs to you.
Got it.
It is yours. It is your car. It is one with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Perfect. Perfect. And then once I become it, I get out of my way and I allow it to come into my life?
Once you've thought it, once you've seen it, you have it, you have formed it, you have attracted it, and you have become it. This allowing is the big one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What does it mean to allow something? It means accepting it the way it is. You will not put anything on it. You will not emotionally charge it one way or another. And you will, most importantly, not judge it. Not in the back of the mind say, oh, I don't know if I really deserve this. I don't know if I can really get this. I may not have the money to do this. Take away all judgment.
Right, that's a good one, and like you said, that's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest thing for us to
do. That is the big one. And if you judge something, you cannot allow it. And if you judge it, you can't allow it to be as it is. And when you judge it, you change it. And you change the frequency and the vibration of it. So once you've gone through all of these steps and you've formed it and you've done everything else, if you put a judgment on it, it absolutely changes the structure, it changes its foundation, it changes everything.
And we have to remember not to judge as we go through every one of these steps.
Right.
I think that's human nature, isn't it?
Yes.
The minute you think it, oh, I want $1 million. Ugh, what am I thinking? How could I ever have $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't think that big. Right? So
it
starts at the very beginning to set ourselves up not to judge.
Right.
And simply to allow this to happen. Okay.
Right. Right.
And then the very final step.
Is acting it. Even though, and this may be hard for some people also, is how do I act it? How do I act if I want to be a business person or I want this car or whatever? It's action is something that people might need to practice to get the hang of it. And once people start acting, and this isn't putting on a front, this isn't being, you know, not true to yourself. This is living what you want. This is imagining what you want. This is becoming what you want. So, what he says is it will be something you do even without thinking about it, seeing it, forming it, attracting it to you, or anything else. You will simply be in a state of action all the time. This is what you want if you want to manifest. When you take action, act also in a grand way, because if you think grand, see grand, form grand, attract grand, and all the rest in a grand way, you will create everything in a grand way. If you act in a small way, you will take everything down to a small form. And he says that reality has consciousness, and this is, in my personal opinion, this is really big for people to understand also, is to have faith and trust that your reality and your consciousness and your higher self, they know what they're doing.
That is a big one. And I love Abram because he believes in living large, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you came here to have fun and you came here to live large. You know, love out loud, all of that.
Yes.
So that's really important, though, that last that we trust.
And he
wants their consciousness knows what it's doing. I like that.
Yes, yes. And when people stop fighting their reality, it will automatically perform more brilliantly. And the purpose of reality, and he says this over and over again, the purpose of reality is to serve you, to give you what you want. We are not here to suffer.
No.
We are not here to suffer. We are here. We have been given an opportunity to become greatness, spiritual greatness.
Spiritual greatness in physical form.
Yes. This brings me to tears almost. People just don't know how great they are.
It's true. It's true.
Excuse me.
And the opportunity for that magnificence in this world, you know, has rarely been tapped into.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, Tom, tell me this. What role does the law of love play in manifestation?
To me, the law of love to me says that if I can love myself, first of all, then I can love other people. I don't have to like them, but I can love them. And I can love my environment, my reality, and everything else. And to me, by having that kind of love, it makes it a lot easier for me to let things come to me, things that I want.
I see.
And I think it's when I'm out of that self-love state, then it's hard for me to think about what I want, see what I want, and attract it to me. Because then I become separated from it, from the energy of it.
Okay.
So
that makes perfect sense.
In a nutshell, that's what it means to me.
So when Abram talks about intention being key, I want to go back to this. My husband Daniel has a saying that it's not what you do, it's why you do it in life that matters most to spirit.
Yes.
So is this the role that intention plays? Does it matter why we want it? Does that have some kind of effect on or influence on how quickly we get it or if we get what we want?
Tell you what, would you like to talk to Abram about it?
I would love to talk to Abram about it.
Okay. Why don't you then give me a minute to connect with him? You and Sue can go ahead and talk, and we're sitting right across from each other so she can see what is happening with me, and she'll let you know when he's ready to come.
Okay.
So I'll be back at some point later.
All right. So, Sue, tell us exactly what Tom is doing to prepare to host Abram.
He leans over in his chair. He usually crosses his ankles. He leans over, has his arms on his elbows, and puts his hands together, and he just waits for Abram to come through. And it usually takes about 30 seconds. I wanted to mention, I have read a couple of your husband's books. I was enthralled. I couldn't put them down. I read two books within 3 days, And,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And
so that would be Saved by the Light and
Secrets of the Light.
And Secrets of the Light.
And what you
wonderful.
What you just said about it doesn't matter what we do, but why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's all right, he's coming through.
Okay, wonderful.
Hello, my friends.
Hi, Abram.
Hello, Abram.
And how are you feeling?
Wonderful. How
Why?
Are you?
Why are you feeling wonderful?
Oh, because I'm having this fantastic conversation with Sue and Tom today.
That is one reason why, but the main reason is because you choose to feel that way.
I do.
Everything.
I prefer that.
Absolutely. Everything is a choice. Now, you have been alluding to intention. Intention is when you give your attention to something. It becomes your intention. Intention is all about doing things for the highest good of yourself, other people, animals, all forms of life, and your planet Earth, and your entire universe, you know. When you do not have intention, you cannot have reality. Reality is of your intention. It allows you a place, a time, and a space in which and with which you can create more of yourself so that you can express yourself in a grander way so that you can allow everyone else in your reality to do the same thing. With your intention, you create situations with which and in which you will create people to be with you for a time because you need to use people for a time in a positive way, just as they need to use you for a time in a positive way. In your reality, with your intention, you will have people with you. You will merge with them. Your energies will become their energies will become your energies also, you know. In looking at reality as being something not real, this will give you the freedom. This will give you the freedom to become your intention. You can have intention or you can become intention. When you become intention, watch out, because it will be then that you will explode as being the powerhouse that you really are in your lifetime. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yes, I do. That's very interesting. Yes, I get it.
Having intention is a nice thing. You can intend things all day long until you are blue in the face, as you say. But it is when you become intention that everything will bloom before your very eyes. You will create things immediately. And this will surprise you and at times shock you. When things shock you as you are creating them, this is when you will begin to doubt yourself because you will have fear. Fear will pop up within you. What was that? How did I do that? Should I do that? Should I not do that? How could I do that? Then you will doubt yourself. Maybe I should not do that again. Then you will go back to the same old you, the same dull, boring you, and you will repeat your old, dull, boring patterns over and over again and live out your life in a small way. So, becoming intention, you are also becoming your grandness, and this is the point of having a physical life, to be grand, to become grandness. This does not mean that the world has to know you. It does not mean that you have to be someone of a celebrity or something of a celebrity. You can be yourself, but be in your own grandness. In other words, be in the understanding of who you are, what you are, and why you are. So, when you can understand who, what, and why you are, then you have won the game.
I love it. this is fantastic, Abram. And if there was a closing thought of the most important thing that you think you could share with our listeners today to help them to truly grasp the greatness of their lives and how they can make a difference in this world, just one little person, what would you tell them?
Thank you. It takes only one person to change the entire world and the entire universe. This person might just be you. Look within yourself. Become the power that you are. Never doubt yourself. Never hesitate to do anything. If you want to do something, get out of your easy chair and do it. Quit thinking about doing it. Let yourself become the powerhouse that you truly, really, absolutely are. This is your life. This is your world. You have created it. Create it any way you want to for your highest good. If something is not working, then throw it away and do something else. Or take the same idea, do it in a different way, and it will work out for you. Always see yourself as being a powerhouse of love for yourself, all forms of life, and your entire universe. When you can do this, my friends, then you will draw to you what you need in your life and in your reality. Now you are talking the law of attraction. When you are attracting things because you are love, then all of the things create and manifest themselves for your highest good. You will not ever create anything that will harm you. Always, always, always rely upon your feeling, your intuition, and your mood. Your mood is brought about by your emotions. Realize one thing. The emotions, as you know them, are just and nothing more than judgments that you place on yourself, someone else, or something. All emotions are of one power, and that means they are all equal, and that means they are interchangeable. So if you think you are feeling fear, maybe you are really feeling strength. Thinking of your emotions as all being equal, then you can drop your judgment of yourself, first of all, which will allow you to drop the judgment of all other people and things and situations in your life. Then you have true freedom. Then you can then become intention. Then you have really won the game.
That's wonderful. That was magnificent. Thank you so much, Abram.
Thank you, my friend.
Wow, Sue. That was great. That was my first encounter with Abram. Quite impressive.
Yeah, he's coming out of it now.
How lovely.
How did it go?
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was wonderful, to be a powerhouse of love and to see ourselves that way always and to come from that strength and energy truly will turn this world around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, my friends, I have really enjoyed this today, and I hope that I will be able to interview the two of you again, along with Abram, and we can focus on another aspect of living. But for today, I think that you have given our listeners so much to think about, some real steps to take to improve their lives and to manifest their dreams. And I can't thank you enough for spending time with me like this today.
No, thank you. Thank you for having us. We really enjoyed it. We really appreciate it.
Now, is there a website that our listeners can go to find out more about your work and where you'll be appearing?
Yeah. Abram's website is Abram is spelled A-B-R-A-M. So it's abramchanneling.com.
Abramchanneling.com.
Yeah.
I hope that everybody listening will go over and see what you're up to on that website and follow your work and read your book, The Art of Reclaiming Your Intention and Power, according to Abram. Again, I thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take good care. And everyone, we'll see you next time.